Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Friday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase, take two, action. We're live. We're back. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. A little bit of a rough start. We had, what, two false starts?
Yep.
And a hold right out of the gate. So we are looking
at a delay
at,
of game.
We're looking at first and third, or first and, what would that be? Let's see, two false starts.
That's 10 yards.
And a hold.
That's 20.
Yeah, so first and 30.
Yeah. There you go.
Right?
That's, we just got to get 10, 12 yards back on first down.
You don't get it all
start
back.
Working.
And,
no,
right.
you don't have to get it all back on one.
We'll get Coach Dilfer out here. He'll, you know, run the hurry-up offense, and we'll be good to go.
We are at Lipscomb Academy, and as I mentioned, they will be hosting BGA, Battleground Academy, tonight at 7 o'clock. We're excited to be here. As you just heard, Trent Dilfer will indeed sit down with us at 11:30 at our table here, and we'll talk shop. Talk a little bit about Lipscomb Academy, talk a little football. We'll get into all that good stuff with Trent Dilfer in just a bit. We will check in with Hal Gill. Tough night for the Predators as they were up 4-1 in the third period, and then all the craziness began as Calgary would put up 4 goals. Looked like Austin Watson was going to give them the game winner with just over a minute to go, and then Matthew Tkachuk guy, who was pretty good at the very end of the game.
It's such a nasty.
It depends on which one. So he ties it up.
The overtime winner.
Yeah, and then the overtime was like, whoa. Like, what do you say? What do you say to that?
Tip your hat.
Yeah, that's just disgusting. But as Hal mentioned last night, we're going to bring Hal in here in just a moment. 10 years ago, it would have been a much, much bigger deal, right? Because nobody was doing that. When you look around the league, look, it's still awesome to see. Like, you're still marvel at shots like that, but it's pretty frequent in today's game. I mean, we've already seen a bunch of them already, and everybody's in games 11, 12, and 13, and we've already seen a bunch of those shots go for goals already. In fact, Calgary just had the lacrosse goal on them.
Right.
Right, by Carolina on Tuesday night.
But that still, to me, is the goal of the year so far in this season. Despite all the, yeah, I know guys go through their legs all the time. They usually don't score. There have been a couple guys that have scored, but not at the buzzer in overtime.
That
on the fly.
That pushes
full speed,
it up. Yeah, that pushes
where
it up
a notch. He didn't like take it through his legs. The puck was sitting there. He's skating to the side. He reaches back through his legs and flips it up high to beat the buzzer.
Yeah.
Lights out. I mean, sorry. I got to say, that's just a salute. Great job. He's a guy that's an easy guy that you love to hate when he's on the other team. He's a great player. And that was just his night. It was an unbelievable game. It really was. It's a bummer. But
unlike Tuesday night, Calgary had fight. They had pushback.
Yeah.
Chicago did not.
Hey, they're good. Calgary, they've struggled so far, but they got a lot of too many good players for that not to happen at some point. You hate that it happened on this night, and it was a classic case of they were ready to break out, and the Predators didn't do a very good job of playing with the lead in the third period after two incredible lights out periods to start it. Every now and then it happens. You just can't have this happen as a trend.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is how do you bounce back? Because for Calgary, I mean, you use it as a positive. Okay, you battled back, you ended up winning the game. For the Preds, you don't want to get caught up in this. You essentially have to move on, but how do you learn from it? That's the big question.
What do you need to learn? Who's the best third period team in the league?
Predators.
Right, Predators. Going into last night.
Not so even close.
So I'm willing to write it off right now as an anomaly. Now, if that happens two or three other times in the next couple weeks, then you got a problem. But I hope it's just you learn your lesson and you bounce back and hopefully play a good hockey game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
tomorrow afternoon, remember that.
Yeah.
First installment of two, Hockey Fights Cancer in Bridgestone Arena. It is a 1 o'clock puck drop. We have pregame at noon. So a little matinee hockey, Predators and New York Rangers. And if you're going to boo Jimmy Vesey, he doesn't play for the Rangers anymore. If you missed that in the offseason.
Yeah.
He stayed in the state. He's just up in Buffalo.
Well, should be a fun atmosphere. And, again, this is, you know, at least you have a relatively quick turnaround and can jump back into it, try and get 2 points. And I guess the solace is they got a point because, again, you want to accumulate as many points as you can early on in the season. So
I'll tell you, when they tied it 4-4, I was very concerned that it would get to overtime. I was then, you know, relieved that the Predators went back ahead on another great play by Austin Watson. What a night he had. Only to see Tkachuk tie it. It was just one of those nights. But I agree with you. The worst case scenario is you don't get a point. You come out with a point. The same thing happened. There was one other game in the league last night, and Vegas had the same thing happen to them. They're up 4-2 with 7 minutes to go. They lost it.
Yeah, both home teams lost in overtime last night.
So comebacks happen. This is the NHL now. They have done everything they can within reason to make it so that the offense can come back.
I don't know.
The goals are getting scored at a huge rate. You got dangerous teams, and if you leave the crack open, these teams are good enough to jump through.
I don't know if you saw it, Willie, because you were doing TV stuff, but over on the radio side, but I know you guys are up there close, but Al Gill, who hopefully we'll talk to here in just a minute, and hopefully he's okay, he took a puck to the head. In fact, it stuck.
Very gruesome.
It stuck in his head. So he had a puck in his forehead, and I think he's all right. He did post-game with me. I felt like he did fine.
I put him through
protocol. I felt like he was okay to go, and so I think he'll be okay to go, but he did take a nasty puck to the head.
I'm guessing
it stuck right in his head.
I'm guessing he's got an appointment
and he's got a dead tooth, too. Black tooth.
I'm guessing he's going to be visiting the
I don't know if he's going to get it pulled. Does he get it pulled or does he just leave it in and just say, hey, I'm a hockey player?
Well, I was thinking about the puck, too. Does he have to have that surgically?
I think it just
removed?
Works. It's like a splinter.
It just works its way out.
Yeah, it'll just fall out.
It works its way out.
So,
okay.
when Skills is just doing whatever he's doing, it'll just eventually.
He seemed
just
normal, though. I mean, it seemed like it didn't affect his brain or anything.
I guess it didn't get into the portion of the brain that allows you to talk hockey.
Yeah, I thought he was, I thought he was speaking fine last night. So
sounded good.
We went with it.
Honestly, I did like his perspective in the post game. I liked when he jumped on the. He was trying to explain. Well, let's just bring him up.
I want to
reenact listening to the exchange last night when I think the question came up in the Ask How.
Yeah.
Did the Flames come back and win the game, or did the Predators lose the game? And it's a good philosophical question. It depends on
your point of view.
That was a very good question.
Yeah, that was good. But Hal, was talking to somebody, I guess, in the audience, and he said, this woman's upset. She doesn't want to hear about how it's good hockey.
Kathleen didn't want any part of it.
I only want the Predators to win.
Like,
I don't care what happens.
I don't come to these games to feel good about their comeback.
Yeah.
No, it's not about them.
Yeah.
How's your head?
My head is better, guys. Thanks.
Is the puck still lodged in the head, or did it fall out?
I cannot believe it. It actually came off without taking at least one layer of skin.
Wow.
I thought the scalp. And that's about it.
That's
impressive. But I'm okay.
Okay.
That was
a good question last night. You know, how do you view what happened? But, you know, as you said in postgame, and, you know, people do forget that the other team is trying to win too, and they're paid to win hockey games as well, and they were the best team in the West last year, so we knew the Flames were a pretty good team.
Yeah. You know, the last half of that game is The Preds got kind of set up where it's going to be an easy one. No, this is, you know, we beat Chicago, now we're going to beat Calgary. It's going to be easy. And not so fast. It was a pretty good turnaround, but, you know, they're going to look at that as like, oh, that's a turning point in our season. We came back. We found a way to get it done against a great team. The Preds are going to look at it as we lost and we played on our heels. We heard that a lot from Austin Watson, playing on our heels, and you can't win that way. In the end, no matter which side you're on, it matters what you do when you're coming out of it. You know, like if you're going to go into the next game and say, hey, we can't play on our heels, we got to play well, or you turn it into a positive and you go and attack and try to get the win and finish it off, the other team is going to look at it the same way and say, hey, we're going to build off this big win. So it is what it is. That's my favorite quote, because in the NHL, it's always going to change.
Hal, I haven't seen who our post-game guest is tomorrow. I haven't been told. If you have, could you let us know right now so we can announce who's getting a contract extension tomorrow?
It seems to be a theme, huh? Good for Waddy, though. You know what? He's gone through a lot, and he touched on it. He didn't really want to get into it. I think his mind was still beat up about the loss, and he's devastated, but I mean, what a great game he had. He gets a contract extension. He's gone through a lot, and I think he's pretty happy that this team has stood by him and really went to bat for him and believe in him. And, man, he you know, going out and doing the job he does is not an easy one, blocking shots, fighting guys, and then adding some scoring touch too. So good for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In all seriousness, we had Roman Josi Tuesday night, Austin Watson last night, and you're right. When I said, what does it mean to you personally, this contract extension and your family, for what, because he touched on it, what you went through last year, and you could tell it meant a lot. I mean, just his body language there with us, Hal, I know it's radio, but to translate it for everybody out there who was just listening, you could tell he dug, you know, he was digging deep for that. You could tell that it was just more than just a contract extension.
Yeah, I lost you for a second, but that's more than just a contract. It's about believing in something and Preds believing in him and him really wanting to be part of this group. So it's awesome all around.
So Hal, I'm just looking at the – John Buchegras just tweeted this out after the game last night. I just saw it for the first time. And the question is, greatest goal in NHL history? But I don't know if this is true or not, but have you ever seen a guy score a goal? I know we've seen guys score goals through the legs, but through the legs, upper corner, to beat Pekka at the buzzer in OT. I mean, that's a pretty good case for goal of the season, at least.
Well, that's what Kathleen was so upset about. As I said, hey, I know this is a devastating loss for the Preds, but do you guys realize what you just saw? I mean, it really was. It's early in the season. You know, you put that into a playoff perspective, and if goals get like that get scored in the playoffs, people are going to lose their minds. That was such a beautiful goal, and to be able to shoot it that hard. You know, the problem going between your legs is you really can't wind up on a shot. If you wind up, you're blowing out your groins. So for him to get that much steam on it would just pretty awesome. I was blown away. I was like, you know, and he tried it earlier in the game, and every guy is trying it more and more often, and we're seeing that happen. But that, like you said, to pick a corner and to actually put – that much juice on it was pretty impressive.
It was incredible. So, Hal, you you talked about just the whole thing. This happens in the league. It happened in the only other game last night that was played. Vegas, in their home building, lost a 2-goal lead late, lost in overtime. Comebacks do happen. The league is trying to make the conditions on the team that is holding a lead tough so the offense can come back. But tactically, one of the things I heard Chris Mason say, and I wonder what you saw, as Calgary was attacking in the third period, You know, guys like Johnny Gaudreau, they're so tough to contain when they build speed coming through the neutral zone. I mean, what are you supposed to do to defend differently once they start feeling it like they did?
Yeah, you know what the thing for me was, the Preds couldn't break out. They made, I think there's a little bit of adjustment. A lot of times, you know, the forecheck for Calgary, they wanted to get on the first guy and get on the defenseman. Well, they kind of conceded the first pass and then took away the second pass. And we saw the Preds turning the puck over a lot on that second pass up by the blue line in that area, not necessarily turning it over down low, but up high. And then once you have those guys countering, those turnovers happen, and they're countering. If you have Johnny Gaudreau coming at you, well, you don't have your gap, and you're playing on the offensive and then have to switch to the defensive that quick, it makes it that much harder to get him. And the quick exchanges, the speed, the attack. How many times did you see Matthew Tkachuk come in to the middle and just kind of wait for defense to attack him, and then he'd spit it to the outside? And I think that was a little adjustment that Calgary made that the Preds really couldn't compete against, and that's what kind of got them. And, you know, it looks like you're on your heels, but how else are you going to play when you turn the puck over to a guy like Gaudreau who's coming back at you? And he's got dangles for days and shifty as heck. And it's, I just think that's a hard way to play. And, you know, I hate to see guys punt it out of the zone, but if you can get it into the other end of the ice without icing it, and then at least you can set up your forecheck. But they had no chance with those guys coming back at them.
Isn't it crazy how certain trends happen too against certain teams? The Flames now have 5 overtime wins over the Predators in Nashville in the last 9 meetings in this building. It just there's some things you just cannot figure out.
What is it, 8 of 9? They've won in Nashville?
They've won 8 out of 9, and 5 of them have been in overtime. Just crazy. And Nashville's had a lot of success in Calgary.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. It flips around, and whatever reason. But they're always good games. I feel like they're always tight. And I was kind of surprised to see that game get out of hand early on. And, you know, I'm just sitting there going, oh, no, this is no, there's no way it's going to stay like this the whole game. There's going to be some pushback, and how is it going to go down? But, you know, for a pretty dull game, it became a crazy, awesome, fun third period. You go out the wrong way on it, but those games are always fun. I think that's, you know, the reason why you play is to compete and be in those games. So, you know, the Preds can look at it that way, like, hey, it didn't work out their way. They got a point, but they had that compete level, and that's what they're going to need going down the stretch. So maybe it's good to get it started now.
Yeah. One other Hal Gill appreciation moment I had last night was in the 3-on-3. This is what's funny is how close the game is. The play for Tkachuk might have never happened had it not been for a great defensive play by Mark Giordano, who did the Hal Gill long body block of the 2-on-1 pass. Ryan Ellis has the goalie's way out, and all he's got to do is flip it over the body of Giordano. Colton Sissons is waiting on the other side. It's a layup goal to end it. It would have brought the house down, but Giordano made a great play.
Yeah, no, that's it. And that's usually the way it goes. You know, you start to – it's a puck possession game and the 3-on-3, and then there's a quick change, and someone gets beat, and then all get out. It's back and forth, and then it gets exciting. It took a long time for it to happen, but you know, eventually with time ticking down, guys are like, "All right, let's go for it." And man, that was so close. So isn't that funny about that game? That game, as devastated as the Preds were, if Ryan Ellis makes that play and Giordano doesn't make that play, then you know it's a goal, and we're talking about what a great game that was instead of a devastating loss. So it's a fine line.
Hal Gill is with us, and you know they're going to practice today. How do you talk about last night if you're Peter Laviolette, or is it essentially today it's a new day and you're just kind of moving on and focused on the Rangers?
You know what? It depends on the mood in the room. I think this is a pretty loose group, and we always talk about how honest they are. I think you have to talk about it, but it's the way you talk about it. Is it? Does Laviolette feel like they need to get beat up a little bit about it? Like, hey, come on, that can't happen. Let's work it out. Let's let's go hard today and kind of beat it out of ourselves? Or are they going to just kind of say, all right, you know, we got to play full three periods. Let's get back to work and learn from it. I would assume they'd go and learn from it. I didn't like to be lied to as a player. Don't tell me it's okay. You know, it's a results business and you got to go out and get it done. So let's figure out what happened and then learn from it and move on. But, you know, sometimes you need to take a beating from the coach. I'm not sure if Lavi's at that point yet. I think it's still early in the season for that.
Well, what I'm curious about, because we've heard Peter Laviolette say earlier in the season that he's tried to turn a lot of things over to the players and let the players kind of police the room and take care of some of that stuff. So I do wonder if this is one of those situations where maybe you kind of see some of that, or like you were saying, does he need to step in and, you know, have a talk?
I think the old coaches, Mike Keenan's of the world, you know, where they want to be the bully and go in it. I think those days are gone. I think you put the power into the players and let it, put it on their shoulders and let them handle it. But in the end, it all comes back to the guy who controls the ice time, and that's the coach. So, you know, if you want to make a point heard, Lavi's the guy with the big gun. So, you know, if he wants to say something, he's got to step up and do it. But I do think he wants the players to control it as much as possible.
Another question I heard on Ask Cal that I thought was pretty good was how difficult it is when you've been out with injury to jump back in. And I heard you talk about Philip Forsberg a little bit and just how hard it is to be out and now to have to play a game and try and go back to where you were.
Yeah, it depends on the injury, but, yeah, it's certainly an adjustment period. But, you know, if you have a lower body injury, you know, do you want to go hard into the corner? And absolutely, you know, if you have a bad groin, that first time you get hit and have to put weight on that groin and shift and get away from a check, that can be scary. And so if you haven't done it, you know, you say you've done it in practice. Oh, I went through practice, and that's great. But once you're in the corner battling, then you have to test it. So you want to get it out of the way as soon as possible, but you also don't want to do it. You know, it's a little mental game. But if you go through, you know, one or two periods without getting any hit, you know, if you have a shoulder problem, you want to take a hit so you can feel good about yourself. But at the same time, you're afraid of it. So, it's a balancing act, but I thought Phil did a good job getting in there. He's got to get the chemistry back. I don't think it was quite as, glorious as we saw earlier with Duchesne, but, I have no fear that'll come back soon.
Hal, go get your free Big Mac and your free Frosty and enjoy
lunch.
Yeah,
we do have that. We do have that, don't we?
Yeah.
What a great day to be alive, huh?
Yeah. That, I can't say it any better.
And I would say there's many areas in town where those two restaurants are pretty close together.
Oh, there's no question. No question.
If you find one, you'll find the other.
Yep.
It's perfect. Two all beef patties, special sauce. It's all good.
Less cheese. Yeah. You've sung it before.
The pickles and the onions, that's the sesame seed bun, that's pretty good, too.
I have a feeling after we've just done, I was going to say, after just doing this, we'll probably have somebody on a food run here in just a moment. Hey, Skillsy, always appreciate it.
All right.
We will not forget that. Have a good Friday.
We'll see you next early tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Matinee hockey, noon pregame, 1 o'clock puck drop. And don't forget tomorrow. We get an extra hour. Yippee!
That'll come in handy tomorrow for that 1 o'clock start.
Yes,
sure.
It is the best. Knowing you've got your Saturday night and you get an hour.
Yeah, it's nice.
Hello.
That's nice. You know what? I do want to commend you guys because I thought it was a good post game show for a game that, you know, everybody's just, you know, they're wanting to pull their hair out and go nuts. And there was plenty of people venting on Twitter. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Do you realize they've won the last four games? Like they hadn't given up anything. Yeah. You know, you can't dominate everybody every night.
Everyone wants perfection.
It was everybody's disappointed. I get it, but you guys had good perspective. I'm like, you didn't give them a pass, right?
No.
They screwed it up. They know it.
Yep,
it happens. But, like, Brent Peterson had a great line that Hal relayed, too. Yeah. He said, you know what? This is a pretty good league. It's a pretty good league.
And Brent would know that as he was going through the Wendy's drive-thru.
Yes.
Conveying that message. Hey, yeah, did
that's what made me think of it, the Frosties. You guys were just bringing up the Frosties. I said, well, you know, Brent likes Frosties.
No, look, Hal said it right there. I mean, you know, taking away, you know, as Peter Lobby, the result, right? The end result, and the result was Calgary got the 2 points and not the Predators. They did get a point. Still was a fun Thursday night Halloween hockey
sure.
game.
Oh, man. It was a great atmosphere. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the result is not what anybody wanted, but that happens. And, again, it was game 13 by my account.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, you learn from it, you move on, and get ready for New York.
Hey, did you know an estimated 1.2 million people right here in the U.S. are living with or in remission from a blood cancer? Well, you can join us, ESPN The Game Nashville, for Light the Night Walk tonight at Nissan Stadium. You can be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2019 Light the Night Walk. For more details, to be a part of the event, or to contribute, visit lightthenight.org/events/Nashville. Hope a lot of you get out there tonight and be a part of that. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase live here at Lipscomb Academy on this Friday morning. On ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.